We're on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and we started Perikira. We're up to Omer Rav Sheshes, Omer Rav Yochanan, which is about a little bit more than 10 lines down from the top of the page. And so far we had one version of Rav Yochanan. We're about to learn a second version. According to the first version of Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan requires a tavshil shenis bashel called tsarko to be left on a kira that was a gara for katum. And Rabbi Yochanan was only lenient, according to that first version that we discussed yesterday, in a case of ktama vehuvara. So he did the act of ktama, he made it into a katum, and then the coal started burning again. In such a case, Rabbi Yochanan was lenient and he allowed called Sarko, Tavshishik, new special called Sarko. However, in the absence of Garfa Katum, it would be prohibited to leave food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, even if it reached the stage of Nispashal called Sarko. And that reflects the Shita, the Chachamim of Chananya, because Chananya was very Mekil on Erev Shabbos. And if it was already cooked, and even if it only reached Kemichel Ben Josoi, perhaps, he would allow you to leave the food on an open flame. That was Chananya, but the Chachamim disagree. And so far, Rabbi Yochanan reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara is going to suggest a different version of Rabbi Yochanan. Omer Rav Sheshes, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Kira shi sikua begefes ubi eitzim. And that's your classic situation of a kira that's heated up by coals, you know, by wood that became coals. And it wasn't a garaf or a katum. Is mashin, according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to leave on this kira lech chamin shalo huchmu called sarkon, v'tavshil shalo bishal called sarkon. So we're talking about water that hasn't been cooked, hasn't been heated, and food that hasn't been cooked. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan allowed placing this on the kira on Erev Shabbos. And this reflects the shita of Chananya. His akar, if he takes it off, lo yachsa at sheyigrov o at sheyitein efer. We've said many times that chazara on Shabbos is much more chamur than shehi on Erev Shabbos. And in Shehi on Erev Shabbos, since the Tavshil had already reached a certain level of Bishul, we're not afraid of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. He's quite confident that the food will cook on its own. But when we come to Chazar on Shabbos, that's already Mechzik Mevashel. That's already looks like Bishul, because it's Shabbos itself. So, you know, to the onlooker, you know, you're putting something, food on the fire. That's a problem. If you make it into a garaf katum, it doesn't look like a bishul situation, because you've already cleared out the coals from the oven. Kosovar, this particular formulation of Rabbi Yochanan reflects masnisin lehachzir tanan, that the Mishnah says that you require a garaf katum for chazara, but avalahashos, but as far as leaving food on the open fire on Erev Shabbos, is mashin, you're allowed to do so, afal pisheinu garaf eino katum. And that reflects the sheet of Chananya. So at the end of the day, just to summarize what we started yesterday, we finished today, there are two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not Rabbi Yochanan accepted the sheet of Chachamim, or today's version, Rav Sheshes' version, the Shita of Chananya. Amar Rava, Chavayu Tnanhi. In other words, we can find both of these dinim of Rav Sheshes in a Mishnah. So we're about to learn a Mishnah, and we're going to try to see if we can take Rav Sheshes, on the one hand, he's matir shehia on Erev Shabbos, even if it's an eno garf eno katum, and the requirement of chazara only in a garf a katum, this we can find, both of these we can find in a Mishnah. Lishos tnina. So here's the Mishnah that the Mishnah which is back on Daf Yutes. This Mishnah is going to reflect that you're allowed to leave food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, even if it's an Eino Garf Eino Kotuv. And here's the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Einos Nesapas L'toch HaTanur Im Chashecha. We're not allowed to put a dough into the oven close to nightfall on Friday. They had this kind of cookie that they used to barbecue. You're not allowed to leave it on an open barbecue on coals. Ella kedeshiyikru panel. No, it says unless it reaches the basic level of. Now we're talking about afia, which is called krivas paspitanur, where there's a surface level of crust. That's enough to be matir, leaving it on an open fire. Hakarmu panel shari. So we have in a Mishnah, pretty much black and white, that you're allowed to leave food that's not completely cooked on an open fire, on a kira, even though it's not a garif akata, because the Mishnah only requires krimas panim. But otherwise, Mishnah doesn't require garif akatum. Now Rava continues, lahachzir nami tnina. And we have a Mishnah in which we can learn Rav Sheshes' second din, that you're allowed to put it back onto, put food onto the oven, into the oven on Shabbos, if the oven is a garif akatum. That we see in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Again, it says the Beis Hillel are lenient and they permit putting food back onto the Kira, but we have to add a stipulation. Ad kan lo kashar Beis Hillel begrufa ketuma. Al v'sheina grufa ketuma lo. So our Mishnah is telling me that Chazara is mutter on a Kira, but only if it's a garif akatum. Now, the comment here of Rava is sort of an implied question on Rav Sheshes. Why do Rav Sheshes have to present this as if he came up with this, you know, he discovered America, when it's really two Mishnayos? So the Gemara answers, Rav Sheshes nami diyuka devasnisin kamashmalon. No, Rav Sheshes is really only coming to teach us how to learn the Mishnah, to read the Mishnah properly. Right, the Mishnah doesn't say explicitly back on Daf Yutes that once it's krimas pas betanur, you're allowed to leave it in the tanur. So Rav Sheshes spells that out for us. And the second Mishnah doesn't stipulate that chazara is only mutter and a garif akatum. So Rav Sheshes wants to add that and emphasize that. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda. Now we have another opinion, and that is kira sheisikua begefes uvietzim, right? That's the classic wood and charcoal that heats up the oven. Is mashin aleha tavshil shebishel kol tsarko vechamin shehuchmu kol tsarko vafilu mitztamek viyofalo. Now, what we're seeing here is leaving food on the kira, even though we're talking about Gefes V'Eitzim, and we're talking about Erev Shabbos, and we're talking about, even if it was an Eino Garf V'Eino Katum. Ah, wait a minute. Let me see that again. Kirosh Sikur Begefes V'Eitzim is Mashinal Etav Shil Shabisha called Sarkon, Shukma called Sarkon. Just 1 second. Trying to figure out if this is, if this reflects Hananya the Chachamim. So this is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Ah, I see. In other words, Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda is only matir if it's absolutely cooked. So that's against Hananya. And we're talking about an eno garf and eno kot. Because Hananya would allow, even if it wasn't fully cooked, on an eno garf, eno kot. Omale ahumi rabbanu l'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Ha rav u'shmuel di'amri chavayu. Mitztamek v'yofalo asur. Ah, you're telling me that if it's mevushal called sarko, then it's mutter on an eno garf eno katum, even if it's mitztamek v'yofalo. So you've gone past bishal called sarko, but the continuous state of cooking is beneficial, and that's against Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel both agree that only if it's mitztamek v'ralo is it mutter, but if it's mitztamek v'yofalo, that's considered ki'ilu it's still cooking as far as halachic bishul is concerned, and you're not allowed to leave it on an open fire, even though it's past Bishul called Tsarko, because it's Mitztamik V'yofalo. Omalei, so Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda answers, Atu les anan yoda? Don't you think I know this? The Omer of Yosef, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Mitztamik V'yofalo Asur. So it seems that this was a very well known halacha that mitztamek v'yofalo is also, and we have that in the name of Shmuel, and apparently also in the name of Rav. So Rav and Shmuel both agree that mitztamek v'yofalo is also. So that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says ki akamina loch l'Rav Yochanan kamina. I was only presenting to you the view of Rav Yochanan. And he's matur on an enu garf enu katum as long as it's a special called sarko, even though it's mitztamek v'yofalo. But Rav and Shmuel hold that mitztamek v'yofalo has the same status as lone special called sarko. And the only heter on an enu garf enu katum is mitztamek v'ralo. Omalei Rav Ukva mimeshon l'Rav Ashi atun dimekarvisu. L'Rav Shmuel, Avidu k'Rav Shmuel, Anan, Navid k'Rav Yochanan. So Rav Ukva turned to Rav Ashi and he says, you live in the communities of Rav and Shmuel, and you have to follow their view, L'Chumra. You're not allowed to leave food on the open fire on Erev Shabbos, even though it was already fully cooked when you put it on the Kira. Because it's mitztamek v'yofalo. But Anan, Rav Ukva says, in our neck of the woods, we follow the view of Rabbi Yochanan, he's our Mora da'asra, and therefore we're going to be matir in a case of a mispashal called sarko, leaving it on the oven on Erev Shabbos, despite the fact that it's mitztamek v'yofalo, because it's mispashal called sarko. So Mar Ukva followed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, as we saw in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and you're allowed to leave food, even though it improves, on an Eino Garf Eino Katum, because it's already in a special called Sarko. But as far as people who live in the areas of Rav and Shmuel, they have to follow the practice and the strict halacha like Rav and Shmuel held that mitztamek v'yofalo is also. Amale Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Mau lishos. So Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and asks him, in an Eino Garfeinu Katum, are you allowed to do Shehiyah? So Tosfos points out that Abaye here might be referring to Lonis Bashal called Sarko. And then he's asking whether Halacha is like Chananya, because Chananya said even if it reached only Kemaych ben Josai, you're allowed to leave it on a Kirish Eino Garf Eino Katum. Amalei, so Rav Yosef tells Abaye, Ha Rav Yehuda Mashi Levi Achil. Rav Yehuda would allow leaving food on an Eino Garf Eino Katum and eat it, reflecting the Shita of Chananya. And earlier we had two opinions about Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rabbi Yochanan accepted Chananya or not. Amalei, so Abaye says to him, Bar Minod Rav Yehuda. I don't rely on Rav Yehuda. Why? The Kevon de Mesukanhu, he's a very frail individual. Is Afil B'Shabbos Nami Shari Lemevedle. You would be allowed to cook for him on Shabbos. That's how precarious Rabbi Yehuda's health is. But leave alecha, my. But what about for us? We're healthy people. Are we allowed to rely on this heter of Shehiyah on an Eino Garf Eino Katum? Amalo besura mashu. Right? Bavel was divided up into different districts. In the district of Sura, there used to be no egg to leave food on a Kirish Eino Garf Eino Katum. Dorav Nachbar Yitzchak Mori Di Uvda Havi Umashi Levi Achil. So Rav Nachbar Yitzchak, he was one of the Chachmei Sura, and he was very meticulous about his Kiyum HaMitzvahs, and yet he would allow leaving food on the Kira on Erev Shabbos, even though it's an Eino Garf Eino Kot. So we have both Rav Yehuda, and now we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The only thing is, Rav Yehuda is not reliable because perhaps he was mekil because he was in a pikuach nefesh situation. He has a note here. He says that Rav Yehuda was already very aged at the time of Abaye's youth. He suffered from dangerous seizures, always had to eat nutritious and well-heated food to sustain himself. It would even be possible to actually cook for him on the Shabbos if there was no food available. Amar Rav Ashi, Ka'imna Kame Derav Yehuda, Derav Huna, Vishoyin Le Kosa Daharsen of Yochal. Kosa Daharsene is called here fish hash. So it's some sort of a fish. And it's fully cooked, but it's mitztamek v'yofel v'yachel. So he says that Rav Huna would eat this fish that was left on Akira, despite the fact that it was not a garuf and not a katum. But says Rav Ashi, I'm not exactly sure. Lo yadanu. Imishum de kasavar mitztamek v'yofel obuter. Imishum de kevan de isbe micha mitztamek v'ralohu. So he's not sure about this thing called kasa de harsana. Kasa de harsana, by the way, if I remember correctly, is a sugya in Ketzad Mevarchin, because it's made with flour, and the question is, what's the ikar, what's the tofel, what bracha you make on it? I think it also comes up in a discussion about Suda's Purim, if I remember correctly. But anyway, so he left on this Eino Garf Eino Katum, this Kisa Daharsana, Kosa Daharsana, and Rav Ashi wasn't sure, was it because it was already fully cooked? And the Chiddush is that even though it's Mitztamek V'yofalo, nevertheless it's Mutter, on an Eino Garf Eino Katuv, or was this a case of micha. Micha means there's flour mixed into the fish, and therefore it's mitztamik v'ralo. If you leave it on too long, it's negative. It deteriorates. So what was Rav Huna's psak? It seems that Rav Huna certainly required what's called nispashal called tzarko. That's upgaret. So you need it to be fully cooked. But the question is, was he mekil after the point of nispashal called tzarko, despite the fact that it's mitztamek v'yafalo, or no? He was only mekil because this case of kasad harsana was mitztamek v'ralo. Okay. So that remains an open-ended question as far as Rav Huna's minug is concerned. And again, one thing we have to certainly walk out of here b'vados. There seems to be a lot of shittas here in favor of Chananya, but even if we don't accept Chananya in the case of mitztamek v'ralo, everybody agrees that it's mutter. Omer Rav Nachman, mitztamek v'yafalo asur, mitztamek v'ralo mutter. So Rav Nachman seems to accept the sheet of the Chachamim, and we're not going to allow you to leave food on an eno garf eno katum unless it's mitztamek v'ralo. That's the only thing that Rav Nachman would allow on an eno garf eno katum. Shehi on an eno garf eno katum. Klola de milsa. And this reflects a general rule called the ispe micha mitztamek v'ralo. If you want to know what kind of mixture, what kind of food can be classified as mitztamek v'ralo, it's anything that has a mixture of flour in it. That causes it to deteriorate. And therefore you want to get it off the fire as soon as you can. Lebar mitavshil de lifta, the afagav de ispe micha mitztamek v'yofalo. If you have a tavshil that's made of lefes, which is in English called turnips, then that's something that it's a very hard, tough, durable vegetable, and it needs a long, long time for cooking. So that means even if you add flour to the mixture to make this dish, it's still going to be mitztamek v'yofalo. The continuous process of cooking is beneficial. But that only applies if this mixture has three elements to it. Number one, turnip. Number two, flour. And number three, meat. Ava less be misra. If you have turnip in the dish and flour in the dish, but no meat whatsoever, it's a parva dish, then it's mistamik v'ralo. Even though a turnip takes a long time to cook, but it reaches that stage and it's mistamik v'ralo. Unless you have meat, the meat somehow will counterbalance the flour and allows the turnip to cook and cook and cook. V'chi is be bistra, even in a case where there's meat, and we said that the combination of turnip, flour, and meat is mitztamek v'yofalo. Lo amarin el delo kaboy le liorchin. Ava kaboy le liorchin mitztamek v'ralo. Now this has to be understood. The Gemara is saying that the definition of bishul is subjective. It's not absolutely objective. Which means that there are factors that come to play that decide whether something is called bishul or not. We've said that if you have this combination of this turnip dish together with flour and meat, that it's mitztamek v'yofalo. But that's not always the case. There's another factor that has to be considered, and that's called kaboy le liorchim. He needs to serve his guests. and then you have to cut off the process of Bishul, well, would be prematurely, because again, we said that this is Mitztamik V'yofala. No, get it off the fire. Why? Because you need to serve it for guests. And that makes it into Mitztamik V'rala. Why? Why does this make it into Mitztamik V'rala? After all, it's Mitztamik V'yofala. And I'll prove it to you. Because if he doesn't have Orchim, then it's Mitztamik V'yofala. And it's awesome. What happens when he has Orchim? So I don't see anything in Rashi here. Oh, one second. The Orchim, Rashi says, Tzor chatichos, chashuvos, losum lifnei vein der kov v'tavshim. Oh, I see. Rashi explains that there are two factors here that have to be weighed on a scale, because they operate in opposite directions. One is the ultimate taste and improving the taste, and the other is the volume. So mitztamek v'yofalo, in this case of a turnip dish, is excellent if you're a gourmet. I remember when we went to a hotel for gourmet, they gave us these little tiny minuscule things. I had to take out a magnifying glass to see the food. So if you're not interested in serving a lot to your guests, and you're a gourmet cook and you want to serve your family some very, very tasty, you know, fish dish or turnip dish in this case, then mitztamek v'yofalo. You know, let it cook and let it shrivel, and you'll get a smaller volume. But if you have guests and you want to divvy it up amongst your guests, they don't realize, well, this is a great cupboard. You're giving me something that's gourmet cooking. They want to see a gesunter piece of meat. So you start shriveling it up because it's mitztamek v'yofalo. That's not a way of being mechabed your guests. Lafta dice of itamri mitztamek v'ralo. Here's a whole list of dishes where you got to leave it to cook and cook and cook. One is, let's take the easy one first. Daisa. Daisa is what we call wheat germ or farina. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the kind of hot cereal that you make from grains. And in those cases, you let it cook for a long time. Even though, almost immediately when you put the oat grains, you know, into the water, it's already edible. But you want to let it cook and form this whole new cereal mass. Then he has tamri. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he put into the dates, you know, that's what's in the pot. It's hard for me to believe that we're talking about dates without any meat in it or anything else in it. I don't know, not sure. Then we have something called lafta. Lafta is figs in modern Hebrew, or even in the Torah Hebrew, te'ena. So he says the following, that Lalocha, Rashi and Tos say we paskin like Hananya. So this whole discussion here about which dishes or which foods are mitztamek yofalo and mitztamek uralo seem to be totally irrelevant, because even if it reached only Kamaichel Ben Josiah, you're allowed to leave it on an open fire on an Enu Garf Enu Kotum if we're accepting La Loch L'Shit of Chananya. But now let's talk about Chazorah, not Shehiyah. In the case of Chazorah, we don't allow it unless it's Nisbashel Kol Tzarko. And here we're going to differentiate between Mitztamek V'yoflo and Mitztamek V'ralo. We're only going to allow chazara if it's mitztamek v'ralo. Again, we're talking about an Eino Garf, Eino Kato. Now, I'm a little confused here in this note. Just one second. What does he mean? That even if it's Mitztamek Veralo... One second. So this is all Rav Nachman, am I correct? I'm not sure why he's absolutely convinced that Chazara on an Eino Garf Eino Katu is Osir even Mitztamek Veralo. That was not my impression. At least not everybody agreed to that. But he offers another suggestion here that Rav Nachman actually paskins like the Chachamim of Hananya. And if that be the case, then you're allowed to leave on an open fire only that which is the special called Sarko, and it's Mitztamek Veralo. So he's saying that Mitztamek Veralo is mutter in a case of Chazara. So why does he say that only according to the Chachamim? If you are like Hananya, then there's no difference between then Chazara, even Mitztamek Veralo is also in Chazara. Not sure how he knows that. Let me read this Gemara again. Omer Rav Nachman, Mitztamek v'yafalo, Osur. Mitztamek v'ralo, Mutter. Klola de Milsa, Kol de Ispe Micha, Mitztamek v'ralo. Levad mitavsha de Lifta, etc., 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 etc. Aval im kaboy leili urchin, Mitztamek v'ralo. So let's see, we're talking about Shehiyah on an Eino Garif the Eino Katum, and Rav Nachman says that Mitztamek V'yofalo is Asur. Mitztamek V'ralo is Mutter. Now, assuming Rav Nachman is paskening like the Chachamim, right? That sounds like a pretty decent assumption. So therefore it's going to be very relevant to distinguish between Mitztamek V'yofalo and Mitztamek V'ralo. Now the question is this relevant according to us? And that's Rashi V'Tosfos, because they paskin like the Chachamim. See, he says here that the distinction between Yofa and Ralo is totally irrelevant, even as far as Chazor is concerned, because it's Asur even in Mitztamek Veralo. Not sure how he knows that. And he doesn't seem to quote any source for this. He does say something about a Rashba, maybe. So maybe he's basing himself on a Rashba. Here I don't see anything here in the Masifta, just one second, that's a new sugya. So that's the sugya of Shachach. Okay, let me just, if you don't mind, I'm going to just take one more peek here in the Yalkut HaBiurim, just by chance. We'll see if there's anything here. We're talking about Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. And we're talking about Mitztamek Veralo. Omer of Nachman, Mitztamek V'yofalo Osur. Chasam Ramban, Shemitztamek V'yofalo, Hu Shekol, Kol Sha'odam Samech, Shumis Yabesh, Umitztamek. Barehu Kitav Shil Shalon Isbashel, called Sarko. Kosev HaRitva, She'en Lanu Nafgemina B'din Zeh. Sharei halochahi shemitztamek v'yofalo mutolash hoso. So again, he doesn't spell it out clearly, but I think he means that we're pasking like Chananya. Then he writes, v'yesh omrim shenafgemina l'alocha ma'o mitztamek v'yofalo l'inyin chazora. V'sovrim shemutolahachzil l'kira she'eno gruf v'ena ketuma tavshil Hamitz Tamek Viralo. Kevon Sheinu Nire Kimavashel Shemitz Tamek Viralo. Vagamein Lach Shosh Lechito Ikev Shemitz Tamek Viralo. Baruch Shekivati. I don't know why. It's like I write a letter to the editor here, but Baruch Hashem, it's clear here that as far as Chazor is concerned, there's an afkamina between Mitz Tamek Viyofalo. And it's Tamik Viralo. And he writes Beferish in the name of the Ritva, Mutala Haxilakiro, She'eno Garof Eno Kotum, Tavshil Amitz Tamik Viralo. He says Mimanavshah. It's not Nirikim Avashil because it's Mitztamik Viralo. And it's no Shashchitu because it's Mitztamik Viralo. On the footnote, he writes that the Ramban rejects this. And he writes that Din Chazora. Echad who bainem mitztamek v'yofalo, bainem mitztamek v'ralo. All right. So there is such a shita in the Ram. Okay, then Rabosai, I'm sorry I took all that time, but I was absolutely amazed here that he's saying something that cannot be, or it can be maybe, but it doesn't have to be. All right. So let's see if we can make some progress here.
Rav Nachman is going with Chananya?
No, I'm not saying Rav Nachman is going with Chananya, but to make a statement here that all these distinctions between this dish and that dish, you know, he's got fish with flour and without, turnips, and that is totally irrelevant la'alocha because we're not distinguishing between ralo and yofalo. That's not true. As far as Chazor is concerned, in an eno garf eno kotuf, we will be matir mitztamek v'ralo. Again, that's not Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is talking about Shehiya on Erev Shabbos. And he's going like the Shita of the Chachamim. And this is all very relevant to Shehiya because we're going to allow Shehiya on Erev Shabbos according to Rav Nachman in a situation of Mitztamek V'yofalo in an Einu Garf Einu Kotum Mitztamek V'yofalo. I'm sorry, Mitztamek V'ralo. I meant to say so again. Rav Nachman, who holds like the Chachamim of Chananya. Which means that Kemaycha ben Josoi is not enough to be matir shehiya on an Einu Garf Einu Kotum, but nevertheless he'll be matir mitztamek v'ralo. And then now we have to go into all these nitty gritty details about what is mitztamek v'ralo. But to make a statement that we pasken like Chananya, and therefore this whole distinction between ralo and yofalo is irrelevant, that's not true. It's relevant to the din of Chazorah. Because even though we're not going to allow Chazor on Shabbos without a Garof HaKotum, but we can allow Chazor without a Garof HaKotum in the case of Mitztamek V'ralo. And the Ritva says, Mimanavshach. If you're worried about If you're worried about Bishul, there's no Mexican Mavashal because it's Mitztamik Veralo. And if you worry about Chitui, who's going to do Chitui when it's Mitztamik Veralo? I mean, what is he, he's a masochist? You know what I mean? Boy, mi ne mi Rav Chiya bar Abba. Right now we start a brand new sugya on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. This is a very, very famous sugya. Shachach kedera al gabe kira ubishla b'shavis mahu. So let's assume at this point that he violated an Isa d'rabbanan b'shogeg b'shichacha. And let's go like Chachomim of Chananya. Rashi says on top, I'll leave it on the Asar. So he left food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, and the food cooked on Shabbos. He violated the Isa d'rabbanan of Shehiyah. Is he allowed to eat the food or not? Because we have a principle called Maisa Shabbos, that any malacha that was done on Shabbos illegally, you're not allowed to benefit from that malacha. Ishtik velo omar lo lehu velo midi. Then Rabbi Chiya did not have an answer. Again, who is asking the question doesn't say. The Gemara says just they asked it of Rabbi Chiya. Lemachar, but the next day, Nofak and Darishlu, he found an answer to his question. Amavashal b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, Yochal b'Mezid lo Yochal. Okay, now this is a Mishnah in Masechta Trumos, and the Mishnah differentiates between Shogeg and Mezid, and this is clearly a case of Shogeg because we said Shachach. But then he says, Veloshna. Veloshna means Afilu b'mezit. Take a look at Rashi on the second line. Aval hod shachach kedera loshna ben shogeg l'mezit. Now, the Gemara immediately asks, my Veloshna. In which direction? Maishna means there's no difference between Shogeg and Mezid. If you notice Rashi on the second line, he doesn't tell you whether it's Mutter or it's Asr. But Rabba Rav Yosef, the Ami Chavai, led Tera. And they hold that even in a case of Mezid, in a violation of Shehiyah, you're allowed to eat the food. Why is that so? Why is that different than Bishol b'mezid, which according to the Mishnah is Asur? You're not allowed to eat the food. And Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef explained, because Mevashel d'ka'ovid maise is b'mezid lo yochal. When you do an action, you put something on the fire, that's ka'ovid maise. And then you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of that maise if you did it b'mezid. Aval hai, but here in the case of Shehiyah, the lo ka'ovid maisa. Now this is a little strange. He did put the pot on the fire. There was no magician here. You know, the pot didn't fall down from the heavens. But he did it on Erev Shabbos. And the Isur of Shehiyah is by its very essence an Isur of Shevi Altas, of leaving the food on the fire. Which, by the way, leads me to a gevaldige chiddush here, l'alocha. If let's say my child or whatever, somebody put the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, I as the Baal Bais, I'm obligated to take it off the fire. Because the whole nature of the Isur is b'shevi al tasa. Is therefore b'mezid nami yochal, even though he left it on this open flame intentionally on Erev Shabbos, knowing full well that he's violating an Isur of Shehiyah, nevertheless the food is mut. That's according to Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar li'isura. On the contrary, if he violates Shehiyah B'shevi al taseh, the food is asur, even in a case of shogeg, of shachach. Why? Mevashel hu delo asi li arume, is therefore b'shogeg yochal. Aval hai, the asi li arume, is b'shogeg nami lo yochal. The Gemara says that there's an overriding reason here why we should be more machmir in the case of Shehiyah, which means that even though he did it b'shochach b'shogeg, the food is asur, and that is because of asi li'arume. Now, he might cook on purpose, and he's going to tell you that he did it b'shogeg. So again, in a case where a person actively cooks, and he did so b'shogeg, he forgot that it was Shabbos, is then we're going to say he's allowed to eat the food. Because such a person who actively violated Shabbos, he only did so because he was a shogeg. Clearly he had forgotten it was Shabbos. Maybe he didn't know it was also to be mevashel on Shabbos. But here in the case of Shehiyah, that's already a different story. There, if you allow him to eat the food in a case of Shehiyah, then he's going to be tempted, chas v'sholem, to violate, just one second, what does it mean, the asi le'arume? Does Rashi say anything here? La'arume velasos mezid. Yeah, Rashi says it explicitly. He's going to do it be mezid, and he's going to tell you he was a shogeg. Now again, what exactly are we afraid of? Are we afraid that he'll cook on Shabbos? Or we're afraid that he'll violate Shehiyah b'mezid on Erev Shabbos? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Let me just once again take out the Masifta here. And we're on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, correct? Okay. Asi l'arume. He says the following. Zeshesh shoha olu laharim v'lahashos b'mezit. Okay, I'm calm. I owe the Masifta two points today. Twice he calmed me down. We're not afraid, Rav Nachman Yisrael is not afraid, Chas Shalom, that he's going to violate the Shabbos. I mean, Rashi already says, what was the language of Rashi? Lo nechshedu Yisrael ala Shabbos, right? But what we're afraid is, he's going to violate the Yisrael Shehiyah, because it's only the Rabbanon, and it's Kalbienov. Kalbienov means because it's an Isur v'shevi altas. I mean, it's a violation of the Rabbanon, but in a passive state. The Isur is on Shabbos itself. He left the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and he violates the Isur on Shabbos. Is l'ficha konsu oso b'shogeg nami lo yochal. That's the shita of Rav Nachman. So basically, when you're talking about Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, the distinctions between Mezid and Shogeg are so blurred that he may just, you know, go that one extra step and deliberately violate the Isur Shehiyah. So in order to protect that Isur Shehiyah, we're going to insist that even if he left it on the open fire b'Shogeg, it's still us. So this leads us to Meisve. Now I think we'll stop here, and Mr. Shem, we'll try to pick up Meisve tomorrow. Let's just make a note of where we got up to here. We're up to Mesve. So let's see where we can make a little bit of a note here that we got up to Mesve, which is here on Daf Lamed Ches Omid Aleph, and it's approximately, let's say, about 12 lines down from the top.